Well, hello, everybody. This is Kirk. I'm joined by Vince, and this is our very first broadcast on X, assuming we got this thing set up right, because our tech friends didn't try to help us this time. So Vince and I are trying to step out on something completely new to us.
Yes.
Well,
something foreign.
As you can see on this first ever broadcast live stream, this is the first uncomfortable broadcast on Twitter. Well, not Twitter, it's X now. But on top of that, this specific conversation is going to be about the Guatemala mission trip that I just got back from. And Vince also just got back on a prayer retreat. So we have a little we want to discuss, talk about, maybe even challenge all of our listeners. And the reason I say that is because many times I think, Vince, we limit ourselves. We put a governor on our lives that causes us to not see where God's trying to take us. Sometimes even, I think, and you can tell me this, is I think sometimes we allow what others think of us and what their opinions will be on where we go and who we may go with to hinder us from potential growth that Holy Spirit is trying to propel us forward into.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that a lot of times we are our biggest hindrance over any other person or any other thing. You know, you listen to a lot of the motivational speakers and some of these people who have written these big books, and they'll sit there and tell you that, you know, you have people that come against you and there's these critics and people will never be in your corner like other people will be in your corner, but not everybody, but some tend to leave out the fact that
that's right.
You are your own worst enemy sometimes. So, yeah, that's kind of a big one, especially when, you know, we tend to think that just because you're doing something for the Lord, you are now exempt from having to have those feelings or that you don't deal with them. That when you left and went to Guatemala, all of a sudden, all of those insecurities were gone. All of those issues and struggles that you had mentally to try to make sure you're doing the right thing and be a better person, all that stuff was gone and you didn't have anything to worry about.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes just trying to get out the gate, you know, like if you ever went to a horse race, you know, they shoot the gun off, the gates pop open and the horses burst out of the gates, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we keep ourselves from even entering to the gate before they even hit the pop of the gun. So, because we're so worried about what somebody may think or say, you know, and it could be a trip that we're going to take, like a mission trip or a ministry engagement, or it could even be God, Holy Spirit led me to go to XYZ state. And what if people think I'm a nut job for going there just to go pray? Or what if they think I'm crazy just because he told me to go stand on, and I'm going to use this as a complete example, but I know the area because I used to live there a long time ago, go up to Mowbray Mountain and look off the brow and begin to prophesy over Soddy Daisy in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Nobody's around. It has nothing to do with, you know, what you're currently doing, but it's what God wants to birth into that atmosphere. And to others, it looks like nothing else is going on because they don't know what Holy Spirit's already told you to do. You know, and sometimes we get worried about what others think.
Yeah, you kind of hit that one on the head, just even with what I just went through and where I went. I was gone from Thursday until last night. I got in pretty late.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle. It was a struggle to keep my head screwed on right, to keep my mind straight, because there was so much time in there that I was trying to process things about making sure that I was doing the right thing, or was I doing the right thing? And this was dumb. Why did I do this? And, you know, all those questions that run through your mind. And is anything really happening? because something
Absolutely.
crazy big didn't go down, or the sky didn't explode and rainbows and unicorns didn't fly out all over the place, and
Scotty didn't come to beam you up, and
exactly.
the
I was
choir
really
of
hoping
angels didn't appear. And yeah, I got you.
I was really hoping for Captain Kirk to show up with the ship. That would have been
Well, funny enough, you filled in for me since you were still in country for the men's Bible study that
great.
we both work with and lead and are a
Mm-hmm.
part of. And you sent me a message saying, "Hey, something's going on weird with Zoom." And anyone who knows Zoom is, that if everything's not perfectly set up, weird things can happen. And apparently something didn't get set up and right on the back end. And so I had to log in remotely from Guatemala and pop over the host to you. But in that process, you were able to remotely, even though you're on assignment from the Holy Spirit, get into that Bible study, talk with the men, and fulfill what God had for the Kingdom Talk Bible study for men that we lead on Friday evenings.
Right.
And just as a little side note for that, I know some people might say, Friday evenings is a really inconvenient time. Why in the world do you have it on Friday nights? We ask ourselves that same question for the longest time, but I believe the real thing that we came to the conclusion of is because it's not convenient, because it's uncomfortable. Because if you really want to get in and get deep into the Spirit of God, sometimes you have to make it's not really convenient choices. You've got to get out there and really start doing things that are inconvenient to you. You've got to step out of the boundaries, kind of like you did, Vince, when Holy Spirit asked you to go to the other state and,
Very uncomfortable.
take care of some business for him. I'll let you share what you want to share on that. But you stepped out in faith, and in the process, God began to, I really believe, he began to make connections between that state and this state that we're currently in. And the reality is if you did not step out in faith, then you would not have been able to touch a couple of people's lives, and you also would not have been able to make that spiritual connection and begin to pray and intercede over that other state like you did.
Yeah, that is a good thought, a good possibility that existed. And I say that not in the sense that no, that did not happen. I say that in the sense that when for anyone else who might be contemplating doing something that God told them to do, or looking at it going, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't connect with things I've done thus far. Sometimes you just have to do it in faith. And I remember an old mentor said it like this one time. They said, "You're either going to trust God or you don't." And I said, "Well, I do trust God, but how do I know if I'm being led the wrong way?"
And you're
And
meddling
they said,
now.
"Well, and he said it like this. He said, "If you trust God, then you'll trust if you started to go the wrong direction, he'd tell you to turn around." And I
That's
was
it.
like, "Oh, goodness." So I went, and he didn't tell me to come back home until it was time to come back home. I spent the time up there I needed to spend, came back home, drove through some crazy storms, and had some have some interesting stories and memories with that. But so I learned just how empty of and devoid of trees the state of Kansas really is. A friend of mine lives there, and when he told it to me, I really didn't grasp that concept until driving through it in the daytime. I'd only driven through it in the middle of the night, so it didn't matter. But
Oh, wow.
So I was like, "Wow, you are 100% right. There are hardly any trees here."
Well, just like you,
So,
I had to make an uncomfortable choice to go on this
right.
trip.
Yeah, you had to leave the country. At least I got to stay in the country.
Well, first of all, my wife got invited as a translator because my wife has an incredible gift translating from English to Spanish and Spanish back to English. She can pretty much simultaneously translate, which is incredible. Most people need you to do a full sentence, so that they can get the context. My wife, absolutely amazing woman of God. It's like when she begins to translate, the gift of interpretation hits her. And she hits the same vein of the Spirit. And she does not have to wait for an entire sentence. She can literally word for word translate it. And it's like she hits that same vein. And there was a couple of times that the woman she was translating looked over and goes, "You're actually ahead of me, but you're saying exactly what I'm about to say."
That's great.
And it's like, what? And it's like, wow, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Holy Spirit's at work here, right? And anyway, when they invited my wife along, she mentioned something about bringing me. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a dead weight. I don't agree with just going on a trip just to be there. I don't like to do that. If I'm going on a trip, I want to be active serving the Lord in some capacity.
Right.
And I said, look, as long as I can be used actively, I don't care if I'm, you know, being an usher or what I'm doing, I'll be happy to serve. I just want to serve somehow. I don't want to just be there just to be an observer.
Yeah.
And she spoke with the team and they're like, hey, absolutely. We'll figure something out. The team prayed over it and they actually assigned me to preach two different days.
Oh, nice.
And while I was there, I taught on the anointing and the mantle of how to reach the lost. I mean, yeah, reach out to the lost and those, you know, that are not part of the church. And also the anointing and a mantle. You know, the title actually has escaped me at the moment. I guess I haven't had enough coffee since I've come back from this trip.
Are you still jet lagged a little bit?
I guess. You know what? I've got it. I pulled up my notes. That's the benefit of, and you know, as our followers and the folks that listen to us get to know me, they'll get to know that I am a Macintosh lover. I love Macintosh computers because for me, everything syncs together. And also, I love the fact that for me, I don't get just as distracted with a Macintosh. So those,
I think you got to be careful. I think you're dating yourself. Nobody has called it Macintosh since the 1990s.
Or an Apple computer. Whatever. Anyway.
I call it a Mac now.
It's a Mac. Yeah. You know, Toby Mac's son, before he passed away, Lord rest his soul, he has that song, you know, I want a Mac. I want a Mac. Daddy, I want a Mac. Remember that?
Wow, you pulled that out from so long ago.
Oh, it was a great little song. My kids used to love to sing it.
So when you went to Guatemala, you also went through a time warp.
Oh, well, I don't know that I ever left that time warp. But anyway, yeah, you can laugh at me. The first session that I taught on was New Mantles, Raising Up Sons and Daughters. Mm. That was the first one that I taught. The second one was supposed to be challenging and equipping the saints. However, the Holy Spirit had different thoughts. In the middle of praise and worship, before we got started, the Holy Spirit dropped a word for the people of Guatemala. It was the entire assembly, and it was quite awesome. The first day we had like 35, 40 pastors, because the first day was a pastor's conference, only pastors. The second day was church leadership. And that we had probably about 60, 75 people there that showed up for that. And it was pretty awesome. I do need to mention that we started this process not on our own. We came to support another ministry. And because when my wife and I established Moose Ministries, the idea was not just to build ourselves up. The idea is to build up the kingdom of God and right. to equip the saints for the work of the gospel, that as they are equipped and they're empowered, and as they're empowered, they have liberty in Christ through Jesus and his word. So as part of that, we also support other organizations, not under our title when we go, but we go technically under our own finances. No, people don't pay for us. You know, our supporters, those that join and partner with us, they help us go into the world and support other ministries that have works that they're working on. And then sometimes it'll either be, we just support them and help them establish their work. And other times it's a joint partnership. Well, this time I thought that it was only just me supporting another. However, in part of the process, Holy Spirit knitted my heart to the heart of Pastor Eddie, who was leading this venture. And this venture's primary purpose was to establish a pastors network there in Guatemala City that can reach out to the other pastors throughout the nation and help to be a support network for the pastors. Because you and I both know one of the largest problems around the globe, United States and everywhere else, is pastors are lonely. They don't feel like they have support. They feel like they're alone. They feel like they don't have the tools and resources they need. They feel like that they're being used and drained of everything and nobody's pouring back into them. And so when I heard what Pastor Eddie wanted to do, I got so excited. You and I, Vince, talk all the time offline. Some, I think we've mentioned it a little here and there on the podcast, that we have a heart for ministers. We have a heart to touch other, you know, pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists, that we want to pour into them so that they have the tools and the resources and the anointing and the overflow that they need so that they don't feel like they're alone. And we also want them to have a network to where they can actually commune with other believers, have someone that can pray with them and stand alongside as they're going through the battles so that they're not on their own. Now, when I heard that Pastor Eddie was doing this thing in Guatemala, I got so excited and I thought, you know, whether I got credit or not for this, I got to go. I've got to go help him build this thing. I've got to help him get this thing going. But while I was there, it's like Holy Spirit took my heart and Pastor Eddie's heart and just kind of melded them together. And I'm so excited just to see what happens from this, because it feels like there's something long-term in a partnership that's beginning to bloom. Even though in the beginning we just went to support, I believe the next venture will be a joint venture. And I'm super, super excited about that. Did you have a question that you wanted to ask me, Vince?
No, I was just thinking about, as you're saying that, and this is being established, I was thinking about several of our men's groups. We have prayed over multiple countries where we've got some of our friends that go there for short-term missions and even some long-term missionaries there. But in recent months, there have been several Central American countries that we have prayed over and prayed for the Lord for his hand to move there. I believe Guatemala being one of them, as well as
Honduras, I think, is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, Honduras was the other one. So, and I think we even got into either El Salvador or Costa Rica, one of those two. I forget which was the third one, but those other two were the main ones that we have prayed over and prayed over several times.
We've prayed over Mexico as well, even though my wife's from Mexico. The specific reason is there's an orphanage down there that one of our board members, he's a part of actively supporting and ministering to the workers and the children there to make sure that they have the love of Jesus.
We've also hit, was it Peru and Colombia too, right?
Absolutely. You and I both have a friend that is a pastor there in Colombia. And the last time I went down to Colombia, it was a joint purpose. One was so I could minister at Jeff's church. And I mean, he really put me to work. I think the one Sunday I was there, I think I preached three services.
Didn't he also give you a shovel too?
No, that was in Peru.
Oh, that was Peru.
While we were in Colombia, we also worked on a partnership with a local organization, a local nonprofit in Colombia that helps, you know, children and young women that are saved out of human trafficking. And they help make sure that they have, you know, food, education, transportation, and some counseling so that they don't fall back into the human trafficking pattern, which I believe is an incredibly important thing. I mean, if you just pull them out and then they go right back in, it's not really a great investment. The investment needs to be that you're seeing a positive success. And that was one of the things we established when we went down to Colombia, is that this organization down there does have a track record of having success with getting these girls trained and equipped in something they can do so that they don't fall back into that pattern of human trafficking.
I think it's interesting that they do that too. And it's very biblical. And if somebody doesn't understand it, that's a very biblical thing to do, not just rescuing, but training and teaching.
Yep.
All you have to do is go back to Israel. When Israel was pulled out of Egypt, That's one of the bigger purposes for why God created those laws in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all those places where it was like 400 and something of them, I believe it was. I don't have it right in front of me, but and the whole purpose was they had spent 400 plus years in slavery. They
yeah,
didn't know
it
how
was
to
just
act.
over 400 years.
Yeah, they didn't know how to act like a nation or a people. They had no understanding. They only knew how to act like what generations of them have been. So God had to teach them, had to train them, had to give them rules to just live by and govern themselves by. And so it's similar when people are pulled out of these kind of lifestyles. And that's the whole purpose why Jesus said that we need to go into the world and make disciples, not converts, because they need to be able to come out of that old lifestyle, out of that bondage, and
absolutely
know and learn a new way to live. So that's, I really think that's amazing that they're doing that. And it's really cool to be connected with them, even though I may or may not ever meet them on this side of heaven. It's just really cool to
oh,
do
yeah.
so.
Now, if someone did happen to want to help sponsor, you know, supporting one of these kids that's rescued out of human trafficking, you can always go to the Moose Ministries website, mooseministries.org. Go to the social responsibility section, and you can check that out there. Now, back to Guatemala. What was really awesome is we saw a lot of these pastors get free. We saw them absolutely transformed. One of the visions of Pastor Eddie and his team is they had a heart to give them a new mantle. And what they did as a physical representation of the mantle, they brought in new suits for the pastors and new dresses for their wives.
Oh, wow.
Listen
That's
to this.
Amazing.
This was so awesome. And this just goes to show that God pays attention to the small details, right? You turn around, and as they hand out these suits to the men, because the men, they had asked them for sizes because they kind of knew who was coming because they had worked with them before and started working with a local team to help orchestrate things. And they knew the pastors who were coming, so they found out what sizes, but they didn't know anything about like what color they needed or anything like that. So as they were praying over what suits to purchase for the pastors, the team would feel, well, this one needs navy blue. This one needs black. This one needs tan. This one, I'm not kidding with you, Vince. Every pastor's suit looked like it was handpicked by like the highest professional to make sure it matched their skin tone, the look of their face, everything. These men were so sharp because we just said, hey, go try on your suit, see if you like it. And they came back in like all shiny, and it's like, man, this guy looks like he needs to be on a magazine. I mean, it's like, how in the world did Holy Spirit, you know, direct a human that, you know, we're all subject to error, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
We can get our opinion all mixed in and say, well, I think I bought enough brown suits today. I don't think I need another one. You know, whatever. But, you
that
know.
Would have been easier to just say, I'm going to buy 50 brown suits and be done with it.
Or black or navy blue,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened. And it was just amazing because the suits matched the person. Like their look, their skin tone, everything. And it set them off. And then the wives, they were able to pick their dresses, but even they lightened up, and it's like it made them radiate. And they were able to see the physical of what God was doing in the spiritual, if you know what I mean. So that was pretty incredible in itself. Then the second day, we had all the church leaders come in. And the different messages that were spoken about different mantles that the Lord wants to help bring in to the different church leaders, you could see how impactful each of these messages were. And another side note, I also want to say thank you so much to Pastor Ricardo, who came down in from Baja, Mexico. He's a pastor in Baja, Mexico. You and I went to school with him as well at Christ for the Nations, funny enough. And I called him up asking him if he could help me with translating because we had a feeling that during ministry times, we were going to need more than just my wife. And because of so many people speaking and the fact that it was almost 8 to 10 hours at sometimes nonstop, it was not going to be feasible for one person. It would just be too much for one person to translate nonstop.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So super thankful for him. He did such a good job helping us. with translating, and that's not even his primary gig. His primary thing is preaching. He's part of a team, which I believe is more of a actual, you know, Acts church type of thing, because it's not just one senior pastor that always speaks. All the pastors rotate. They all take turns preaching.
And, oh, that's great.
And that is the biblical model. It's not supposed to be about one personality. It's not supposed to be about one superstar preacher. It's supposed to be about the church being ministered to by the fivefold, being equipped, empowered, and set on the course to where they can successfully evangelize their city, their state, and their nation.
I like that. I like that model. I've only heard of that. Where was that? I've only heard of it at one place in South Carolina, I believe it was several years ago that they were doing that. And then I've seen it, I saw it in person at a church in Alabama one time where they had their main pastor that kind of did most of the teaching, but then they spread it around throughout some of the other people in the church, like some of the other leaders as well. So I think that's really neat, not just because it's a, not even really about variety. It's about the fact that one person isn't assuming the entire weight of all of that. And it goes back to the Acts church. It goes back to the apostles devoted themselves, meaning multiple people, to the teaching of the, you know, the studying and teaching of the word. So, and in the beginning, most of them were all in the same general area.
Oh, yeah.
So it was more than likely you weren't just hearing Peter alone speak. It was others as well. So have you had anybody, any thus far, any specific testimonials kind of come back or before you left, anything specific?
Oh, yeah. We had one of the guys that we prophesied over that the Lord's calling this gentleman into ministry. It's a young man that he currently has a very prosperous music business down there to where he does sound for some of the largest venues all over Guatemala City. Now, Guatemala City, just to kind of paint you a picture, is like probably about like our New York City.
Okay.
I mean, it's incredible. It's a beautiful city. It's a modern city. And it is, the stores that we went into and the restaurants we went into were just as nice or nicer than what we see around DFW.
Oh, that's
very cool. Nice. I mean, it, very well done. I don't know what the entire city's like, but the area that I was in, the people of Guatemala were very friendly, very kind. Anyway, back to the question you asked me before I get myself completely down a different rabbit hole. Daniel, he was telling us that he felt like he was supposed to go on this mission outreach to a remote area there in Guatemala with another pastor. And the Lord had blessed him with a little bit of a financial blessing before he left the conference. And he turns around and tells us, he goes, you know, that blessing that I received during the conference, he goes, I feel like the Lord gave that to me to sow into these poor people in this poor region that we're going to, because I don't believe I'm supposed to go in empty-handed. So he didn't take it and use it for himself. He bought food and other supplies with that money, loaded it into the back of his car, and went with the other pastor and took it into this area. And he actually sent us a picture to show, hey look what we were able to do because of y'all's generosity. You know, and because of what was poured into us.
That's super cool.
So he was giving honor and glory to the Lord, you know, for things that we had no idea what were even going to happen. You know, so the Lord made possible something that he had already assigned him to do, which is pretty awesome. You know, if we were not obedient, then the resources would have had to come from somewhere else. But, you know, anytime seed is sown twice, there's a blessing because of that double sown seed. Now, not to get into like a tithe preaching or anything, but you know.
Well, no, there's also a blessing that comes when you, and it's not necessarily that the giving of the money itself. There's this blessing that comes when you give, you know, when you're like, I'm going to do this because I just feel like the Lord wants me to do it. And it doesn't, it's not the whole tithe thing. There's this blessing that comes that even though it's seed planted for the future, there's this just joy that comes to your soul when you are doing something
Absolutely.
that helps someone else. So, and that's part of that kingdom mindset and mentality. I mean, we've got to be about, in whatever way God chooses to use us, we have to be about expanding the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
As leaders, that's a huge priority.
Now I know that we've spent a lot of time on Guatemala, and you're welcome to ask me some more questions, but when you were in, I think you said Kansas or Arkansas,
Nebraska.
Nebraska, man, you know,
You're getting there. You're getting
I'm getting
close.
there. I'm
Except
getting there. I'm kind of going around the mountain, but
you're going around a long way.
while you were there, was there anything specific that you felt the Holy Spirit spoke to you that you're able to share, that it's not that he's told you to keep quiet?
Yeah, I mean, so it was kind of a unique thing. For what what I thought the main part of the mission was, I should have been able to just go up there, do this, turn around and go home. But the Lord had me up there for several days. And one of the things, there's a couple things he showed me. One of them was that on the way there and on the way home, it's almost like I was carrying a piece of a cord or something that needed to be tied off or plugged in or whatever there. Listen, I'm not making it into some super spiritual thing for anybody listening. It's just that's what it looked like to me. And anybody that's familiar with dreams or visions, usually it represents something else. But that's what it looked like to me in this picture that was in my head. And the other thing was, now listen, we are called uncomfortable and we will get uncomfortable. So I'm just gonna jump out there and say it. I struggled quite a bit with wondering if I was doing the right thing, if I heard correctly, and there was almost a full day that I struggled wondering if I was doing the right thing, if I had heard from God, if I was the right person for this, if there were surely there were better people. I could think of five of them off the top of my head that would have been a better candidate for this expedition that the Lord wanted to be done. And I say that to say this in this a comparison of if God's telling you to do something, it doesn't matter how many years you've been in ministry. I've been in ministry for over 26 years now, and I was still going through that. This is something newer that God had asked of me. And so I say that to encourage others out there that are walking through this. Man, it gets uncomfortable sometimes, and you have to deal with those thoughts. And so on the way home, I was like, Lord, you said the mission was complete to head on home and do this, but I'm here and I'm wondering, why did you pick me for this? Going through the whys and all that. And on the way home, you're like, well, there's nothing else to do but have a conversation with God. I'm driving a car, I'm not going anywhere. Kind of a captive audience here.
Funny how that works.
I went into complaining and like now, why couldn't I just fly up and do it? Why do I have to drive and all that jazz? And so he just grabbed me and he said, he said David wasn't perfect either. And there were a lot better people I probably could have picked other than David. But I don't pick people based on their look, based on their accomplishments. He's like, I pick people based on their heart. And I pick people based
Wow.
on who will let me in and let me use them even through their imperfections,
I love
even
that.
through their insecurities, even through their complaining and whining and moaning. And we'll still say, even so, I will still go because you said go. Even so, I'll still do it because you said to do it. And if I'm wrong, I'm trusting you enough that you'll tell me to turn around and come home. That you'll tell me to flip a U and get off the interstate and turn around and come back home. So, it is a trust walk. It's a it's not easy to always do what the Lord says to do. But like I told somebody this morning, it's not always fun and it's not always easy. But man, I'd rather do that than the alternative.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather be trusting God and walking out this walk and going through these uncomfortable things than I would the alternative of not having any kind of direction in my life, not having that comfort in knowing that God really does have my best interest at heart. And even doing this, even though it was uncomfortable, even though it was weird for me and outside of my comfort zone by dramatic means and drastic means, and I'm using both drastic and dramatic, because I was being a little extra.
Well, that's not exactly the most unusual thing there.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if I could be honest about it, if I could, you know, if I could be real, I was being a little extra. The good thing was I was the only one there, so nobody heard me being extra except for God. So,
well, before we wrap things up, because I know that we're getting pretty close to it, but yeah. I love the fact that you're vulnerable. Because I really, one of the things I've noticed is too many times ministers around the world, doesn't matter their tenure, they don't want to admit any kind of feelings of inadequacy. They don't want to admit that they have any doubts. They don't want to admit that there's any other things. And I really believe that it sets a wrong tone. And what do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. I mean that when you have people that look up to you as a mentor and they think that you're perfect, and when they have shortcomings, sometimes it infuses doubt into their character because they think that there's a thing that's unobtainable in their life, something they can't acquire. And they really need to know that their mentor, whether it's public or private confession, they need to know that their mentor sometimes has moments where they have to come to Jesus too and say, Jesus, I need an attitude adjustment. You know, I need you to direct my steps. I need you to show me what I'm supposed to say and what I'm supposed to do, and not just set things like I want them to be, but I need you to set them as they need to be.
You know, it just came to my mind that it's kind of this phrase. I would like to call it measured vulnerability.
Ooh,
in the man. Sense that you are being honest and vulnerable with people on where you are, but at the same time, God is allowing you to do it in such a way to help build people, not because the story of leadership is this. You don't share your vulnerabilities because people will think you're weak and you're not capable of leading. But measured vulnerability means that they're seeing that you have weaknesses, that you have struggles, but they're also seeing how you are overcoming them. They're actually seeing the outcome of it happening, and it's not 20 years later that you're sharing something. And even in what you're sharing, it's so vague that they have to come up with things in their own imagination. You're actually saying, hey, this is, I mean, I get it. I get where you are, what you're dealing with. I'm dealing with my own stuff over here as well. And yet God continues to bring success. God continues to bring increase. He continues to send me out and do these things, even if I feel the way I feel. But it requires, I mean, not just with that, it also requires something that you and I have talked about at length, and I don't want to go into a whole nother hour of a conversation, but I'd be remiss not to mention the fact that it does require us to, on a continual basis, even through our complaining and moaning and all that stuff, it requires us to die.
Oh,
we have to
man.
Die to what we want. We have to die. Listen, although I know you and your wife probably had a great time, you guys had to die to self to go to Guatemala. It costs you something, not just financially. It costed you something mentally, emotionally. It cost you time with your family.
Absolutely.
You know, you had to give up something. You had to die to a certain expectation. You had to die to building your own ministry up further. You had to, you know what I mean? So it's the same thing here. I spent money to go do this. There was nobody knew who I was. I interacted with some people. I mean, they knew who I was because I introduced myself, but other than that, they don't know who I am. They don't know where I came from. They don't know what I do. And that's just kind of it. They know God. They're like, what brought you to our church? What brought you to our place? Well, God told me to come. Oh, that's awesome. Great. That's all they know. the random guy that showed up at their church that God said to come to their church. I stayed for a service, was there during worship and prayer and all that, and the message, and they may never see me again.
That's
it's
okay.
Just about right, and that's totally fine. It doesn't matter. And that concept, in that sense, it's just a matter of that I had to continually choose while I was there to choose him instead of me. Now, sometimes in my whining and complaining, I didn't make the right choice. And other times I did make the right choice. So it's a continue that we have to continue to die to self, right? I mean, Jesus said daily you have to take up, well, I think Paul said it quoting Jesus, that you have to take up your cross daily and follow him. Well, I think Jesus said it, then Paul also quoted it again later. But that's part of our requirement as believers. People say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, that's one of those.
Well, that's right. Take up your cross and follow Christ.
You can't get to a point where like the scripture says that if you ask anything in my name, it'll be done according to my will. You can't get to that place where you can do that unless you are surrendering your will to his will. And when your will becomes his will, then he has no problem granting those prayers because it is his will anyway.
There you go. Man.
And that is my soapbox.
That's your soapbox.
Yep, I'm gonna go polish it now. Put it back in the
All
closet.
Right, well, I can polish that up. We'll put that away for now. Do you have any other questions about the trip to Guatemala before I put a pin in that as well?
Man, no. You know, I think we could and should probably come back to, especially as testimonies start coming back to you and more feedback and things like that over the next coming weeks and months. See if Pastor will send some more stuff to you. Maybe we can revisit again and hear some of the testimonies.
You know, what might even be fun is asking if Pastor Eddie would like to join us
for
one of our
good.
Shows. That I bet that would really be fun.
Because he'll have some firsthand info than just it funneling through us.
He started his ministry in Guatemala as a pastor there. And he was a part of a situation to where it, just to be put it quite bluntly, there were some unfair things happening from the covering he was under. And he decided to come to the States. And then where he was serving there, they took unfair advantage of him as well. And so he moved to Tennessee, where he connected with his other team. And that's how I met him. Funny enough, my wife actually met him and his wife before they moved to Tennessee. So the connection already started. Then they moved to Tennessee and met another ministry friend of ours. And it even further solidified everything for this trip. But because of his experience, he saw the need. You know, the need for pastors to have someone to connect to that's not, there's no agenda. There's nothing there for their benefit, nothing there for their kudos. But it's all about equipping, all about training, all about accountability, and not about control. You know, not trying to be manipulative, not trying to be controlling, all about empowering, equipping, and making sure there's accountability in place. And so that's what birthed the idea. And one of my former pastors used to say, if there's something that bothers you, God's probably called you to fill that need. And I think he's right. As we see things in the body of Christ that have needs, we have the responsibility to begin to take action. Now, that action can be in several different ways. We may need to be the proprietor and go forward and start building that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we may need to be a co-laborer. We may need to be one that comes alongside someone that's already doing the work and help them accomplish the work. Or three, maybe you're called to be a king in the kingdom and God's called you to help sow into that ministry so that you can help them be successful. Whichever the three, we need to be involved. We need to be empowering the body of Christ to do the work of God. And we shouldn't complain if ministries are out there in need, because guess what? Because I've got a friend that keeps being told, you know, just have faith, just have faith if they present like the needs that they have. Well, the reality is every ministry has faith. But many times, most people don't give if they're not asked. That's a sad fact. You know, And it doesn't matter if it's a church or if it's a puppy shelter. If no one ever asks, nobody really gives often. You know, but when they hear the appeal, they hear the need, that's when they begin to sow seed into the ground that they believe in. And as believers, we are called to be those that sow seed into good ground. And I just think it's incredible that so many people sowed into this work. I think it's so incredible that there's so many people that believe in the work that's happening there in Guatemala and in Moose Ministries. And I thank all of those people who take out of their time, out of their effort, and out of their own resources to make everything that we do possible.
Yeah, I think it would be a great idea, especially maybe in the beginning of October. By that time, several reports probably will have rolled in, and bring on Pastor Eddie and just kind of hear about how it's having an effect beyond just the conference itself, how it's affecting the network and growing and bringing what is intended, the consequences that are intended for it to bring, and just kind of hear some of that testimonial, as well as continuing to grow some of the things God's calling us to do here.
Absolutely.
In ministry here, as far as with connecting people and connecting into this technological realm and being able to to do that. So,
well, guys, we do need to wrap it up today. Vince and I, we're both preachers, so we can go on for a long time.
That's really true.
But, you know, we really want to hear from you. The best way to get a hold of us is not necessarily through Twitter or YouTube or something like that, but the best way for you to get a hold of us is to email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. Yep. If you'd like to support us and the work that we're doing, the outreaches that we have that help fight human trafficking, or these works that we do, like going to preach in the Amazon jungle or down in Guatemala, or even local, the things that we even do locally, or even support some of the books that we're working on. I know Vince has got a book that he's working on. I'm currently working on a book as well. If you want to support one of those works as well, go ahead and send us a love offering, you know, at mooseministries.org/give. We would love to hear from you as well. Please let us know any show ideas that you have, any topics you'd like us to discuss. Guys, we would love to pray for you. Send us a message. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
See you later.